is pointing out the sins or faults in others. The impression is that we should never make moral judgments in what we see in other people. Is this true? Is this what this scripture means, Matthew 7, verse 1? Does it mean that we are never to make moral judgments about the right or wrong in our lives or in our friends' lives, our brothers and sisters' lives? Is that what Jesus meant in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 7 when he said, judge not that you be not judged? If we see wrong in others, can we never point it out? Are our hands tied to make judgments of that type? Because Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged. I am persuaded with all of my heart that Jesus' statement is often misused. For Jesus also taught on numerous occasions that there are times when we must judge, when we must come to a conclusion about something. And if the statement in Matthew 7 and 1 is true, then we wouldn't be permitted to do that. There are times when we must judge. There are times when it is appropriate for those who would love the Lord and love His church will stand up and make a stand against those things that are wrong, regardless of what people might say concerning, judge not that you be not judged. In Shirley's dialogue with that particular woman, she got pretty dirty and down in the dirt with Shirley and said, you're not Christian-like because Jesus Christ said you love everybody. The question was not whether Shirley loved everybody or not. The question was, is homosexuality a sin? And she went back with this, judge not that you be not judged. There are times we have to make judgments. To judge or not to judge, that is the question that's going to be before us tonight. To judge or not to judge. Those who would take this particular verse of scripture and say you're never to make a determination on something, often they just pick out something they like, and if it's something that they don't like, well, it's okay too, you know. And speaking about this particular subject of homosexuality to a person one time, she said, you know, you don't judge these people. God says, don't judge these people. Judge not that you be not judged. And so I just take it for what they say. Well, a couple of days later, I saw maybe an AL.com or somewhere, there was a woman in Texas that had a relationship with her daughter. And they didn't want to keep it under wraps, so they went down to the courthouse to get a license to get married. And they were both arrested. And the person I was talking to said, well, you know, that's just wrong. Well, she made a judgment, didn't she not? She was doing the very thing that she said that I shouldn't do. You're judging. Judge not that you be not judged, but yet she did it. I pointed out that the narrative I believe it's in Leviticus chapter 20, in those few verses that said that incest was a sin, also said that homosexuality was a sin also, and it was worthy of death. Well, she said, well, your book is outdated. Well, judge not that you be not judged. We need to look at that and see if that's what Jesus said to do. So if you turn to Matthew 7, verses 1 through 6. Jesus here on the Sermon on the Mount says, judge not that you be not judged. Well, we do want to stop there. Did he explain himself in the next verse? Did he not say, for what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and what measure you use will be measured back to you? And then he says, here's why you're not to judge without the proper attitude. He said, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and you do not consider the plank that is in your own eye? Jesus here is talking about unrighteous judgment. Jesus here is talking about making judgments that's not based upon fact. He's talking about those things that you might want to judge somebody else about, and you're guilty of the very same thing, maybe even worse. Can you just imagine me focusing upon a speck in your eye, and I got a big old prank sticking out of mine, saying, you got to do something about that speck. That's what Jesus is saying. He said, judge not that you be not judged. He's saying, get yourself right, Richard, before you attempt to judge anybody else. You get that beam out of your eye. You get that plank out of your eye. And then you'll be qualified to talk to me about the speck that might be in your friend's eye. Look at that in that line. We want to note some things here. First of all, his words are often used by the world to forbid all manner of judgment, such as adverse or unfavorable criticism. They say, you don't do it. You're judging, and we're not to judge. Or like pointing out a fault in someone else, those people say, you don't need to judge. Judge not, lest you be judged. Even if it's truly constructive criticism, they say, don't do it. I was lucky enough, had a blessing enough to work with three of the finest men who are eldership at Brock Chapel. Those three men in that particular congregation dedicated their life to doing what was right. And they worked day and night. They worked tirelessly. And they warned people day and night with tears in their eyes that if you're walking unworthy, we're going to note you and we're going to admonish the church to withdraw from you. And they did it. I remember an occasion when Brother Charles Klingman called me on a Saturday night and said, I'm going to preach for you tomorrow. And he got up and preached a sermon just like this. We have made this a priority. We have judged there are some in this congregation and some who are not tending faithfully to be walking disorderly. Well, don't you know that there were several in that congregation that brought up Matthew 7 in verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. How in the world can you judge those without being judged yourself? They certainly misunderstood what the Bible says. We have to exercise church discipline. It's a part of the doctrine of the church. The church has been required to do that. Exercising discipline of any sort does require judging others as to their moral or their spiritual condition. And since such judgment is involved, some feel like verses 1 and 2 rule out any sort of church discipline as those few people at Brock Chapel did in the long ago. And also, Jesus' words sometimes are used to say we're not to expose those who teach error because we are making some judgments that are not quite right. And immediately it requires making a judgment in order to consider whether, you know, a doctrine or a person is teaching that which is right or which is wrong. So therefore, some people in the light of verses 1 and 2 believe that we cannot speak against those who teach something other than what we believe or what we teach or hold dear to our hearts in the congregations of the churches of Christ. But is that what Jesus meant here? Jesus telling me as a Christian, one been born again, born of the water and born of the Spirit, can never condemn or talk about those who would teach something contrary to the doctrine that was delivered to us? Must we remain silent when people who are overtaken in a fault and bringing reproach upon the church and upon the Lord Jesus Christ who gave his life for us are just those who might be blatantly teaching error? Can we not make a judgment in the case? Is that what Jesus is telling me? You can't do it? You can't do it? Well, let me suggest that Jesus and the narrative here in Matthew 7, verses 1 through 6, did not rule out all forms of judgment. Note the immediate context of this particular narrative, which reveals that in some cases, proper judgment must be made. Listen, just read some more in Matthew 7. He says in verse 2, in what judgment you judge, you'll be judged. And with the measure you use, it should be measured back to you. Or why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? First, hypocrite, he says, hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, then you will see clearly as to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now listen to verse 6. You got to make a judgment here. In spite of what he said in verse 1, I think Jesus is kind of clearing it up for us a little bit. Do not give that which is holy to the dogs. Henry, do we have to make a judgment at whose the dogs are? Those who are not worthy of the gospel of Christ? Those who walk in darkness? Those who, by their own admission, deny the Lord Jesus Christ by their lives? We're not to make a judgment in that case? Jesus says here, you're going to have to, you're not to give that which is holy to the dogs. He's talking about some hogs and some dogs here, isn't he not? He says, there are some swine. You don't want to cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and they turn and rend you or tear you in pieces. We have to know. You look on down to verse 15 in Matthew 7. He says here, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Well, how do we judge one who comes to us preaching what they might claim to be the gospel? Those who might slip in unawares, as the Bible talks about, trying to subvert those Christians in the first century, and I'm sure it's happened in the 20th century, in the 21st century, and it will happen to the congregations of the churches of Christ as long as Jesus Christ delays his coming back. There will be those who will try to slip in to undermine the truth of the gospel. We see it every day. But you know, here he says, beware of those false prophets who come to you. In verse 16, you will know them by what? By their fruits. You're going to know what they're talking about if you know your Bible, if you know the truth, if you spent time and effort in studying God's Word. You'll know these people. You'll know by their fruit. He says, do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? There's a determination to be made here. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. And every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Therefore, verse 20, by their fruits you will know them. Oh, Brother Keeble one time said on this particular subject, he might not be a judge, but God made him a fruit inspector. So he inspected the fruit of those that he taught and would come in contact with day by day. And I think that's what we have to do. We have to look at the evidence before us, and then we have to make a determination. We are not judging in a manner that's not been taught in the Scriptures. We'll talk about what this judgment is in just a few minutes. Consider the remote context of this teaching, which time when speak of the times when judgment must be made. Elsewhere, Jesus taught on this particular subject, and John 7 in verse 24 is one of those where he says, you know, you judge righteous judgment. Judge righteous judgment. One of the people I was talking to about this subject was really surprised that Jesus made a statement like that. But I could tell right away that he was not familiar with Jesus' teaching upon any subject. All he was familiar with is Jesus said, judge not, that you be not judged. End of the matter. That's it. You can't judge. So we're sitting here with our hands tied. That's not what Jesus meant. It's not even 33rd cousin of what Jesus was teaching here on the Sermon on the Mount. Christians have a responsibility to judge. We have a responsibility, especially to judge those who are inside the local church. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 9 through 13. Here, Paul made the teaching upon this particular subject. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with those who are sexually immoral. Yet I certainly did not mean with sexually immoral people or the world, but or with covetous or extortionate or idolaters, since you would need to go out of the world. But now I've written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or idolater or reviler or a drunkard or an extortionist, not even to eat with such a person. For what I have to do with judging those who are outside, do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away yourselves the evil person. Here Jesus is telling us, or Paul is telling us, that we're taught by this apostle that we're to love and we're to test the spirits and see whether or not they might be from God. So we're told in, I believe this particular scripture is found in 1 John chapter 4, where he says that many false prophets are going out in the world, and we're to check those, or we're to test those, we're to see whether or not they are from God. That takes some judging, my friends. That has to look at the evidence that is before us. And Jesus defined what kind of judging he is condemning in verse 1 of chapter 7. Jesus is teaching us that we are not to judge when we are blind to our own faults. That's what he's saying. Jesus has said we're not to take these stands if we don't understand the position that we're in. He is saying that we are not to make these particular judgments because we are going to be judged with the same judgment. So if I make a judgment that is not right, then I can just rest assured that he's going to judge me in the same manner. And that's what he's saying that we're not to do. Jesus, in verses 3-5, tells us what it's all about. You don't look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you don't look at what's going on in you. I don't look at what you might be doing and not looking at what I might be doing. I can't condemn you for something that I'm doing myself. That's exactly what he's saying. Judge not that you be not judged. Don't condemn somebody if you are doing the very same thing. That's the whole teaching of this passage here. That we are to kind of clean up our act, right? We are to clean up our act before I go out trying to clean up your act. Before I make judgments in your case, I need to get myself right. I don't need to be going out here with a big old plank sticking out of my eye trying to get a speck of dust out of your eye. That's what Jesus is telling me. That's what he is telling each one of us. Jesus is saying that it is wrong for anyone to concentrate his attention on the speck in his brother's eye and while thus occupied to ignore the beam in his own eye. Hendrickson wrote that in one of his articles upon this subject. It's just as our brother Paul taught the necessity of proper introspection when helping others. In Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 1, he said, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual," he said, "look at yourself. You who are spiritual. If there's a brother overtaken in a fault, we don't send another brother out who's also in a fault to make a judgment in his case, do we not?" He says, "You who are spiritual, you do it. You are spiritual. You restore such a man in spirituality, in spirit, or rather, in gentleness. Considering yourself," Paul says, "lest you be tempted also." So with those who are receptive, we are to be long-suffering in trying to help such people out of their error. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24, 25, and 26, one of my favorite passages. The Bible here says, "And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel." One of the translations, maybe the King James, says, "must not be quarrelsome." In other words, he's saying you get yourself kind of right before you make judgments in anybody else. "But be gentle to all, able to teach. Be patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. if God will perhaps will grant the repentance so that they may know the truth and they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. He's given me the qualifications of a servant of God. Now, whether you're male or female, whether you're young or old in the body of Christ, here Paul is telling us how we need to be. We don't need to be quarrelsome. We don't need to be on edge all the time. But we need to consider ourselves. Make sure that this plank that I've got in my eye and you might have in yours is removed before you make any kind of judgments such as that. You notice the instruction of Jesus in his disciples in Matthew chapter 10. The limited commission. In verses 12 through 15, you remember he told them to go in a house, and if they deemed it worthy, you know, to put their blessings there. But if they deemed it unworthy, to pull it out and get out of there and shake the dust off their feet. What's he telling these people on this limited commission? He's saying you're going to have to make judgments. You're going to have to judge whether or not they are worthy or not. If they're worthy, you bless the house, you give them the message that's there. But if not, you just get on out of there and you shake the dust off your feet. In my life, I've been involved in about four door knocking campaigns, and in Meta, Georgia, Jessup, Georgia, Waynesboro, Georgia, and where else? Another town that got the fruitcakes. Claxton, yeah, Claxton, Georgia. I don't know if you've ever been down there. And I got good fruitcakes. And I've been Vidalia, too, because I had onion in Vidalia. But as we knocked on every door of those in that community, there were some who just blatantly said, "You're a bunch of hypocrites down there. You're a bunch of Camelites, and you think that you got the truth and nobody else has got it. Get out of here." Well, I was just quick to go, you know, because they deemed it, as Paul said to those Jews who followed them around, he said that, you know, you judged yourselves unworthy. And some people do that. They judge themselves unworthy of being taught the gospel of Jesus Christ by their own actions and so forth. So any kind of judging forbidden by Jesus is that which is self-righteous, that which is hypocritical, judging that which is false and so forth. And when we judge that which is false, what we're doing is calling God's judgment down upon ourselves. Now, this is the kind of judging that was also condemned when James wrote his letter. Look at James chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. He said, "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. You are not a doer of the law, but a judge. And there is a lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you then to judge another?" He's talking about not judging righteous judgment, being evil in our approach to that. So this is the kind of judging that we need prayers on our behalf so we won't be doing such judging. We need to refrain from such judging as that. And we ought to be more apt in our lives to remove these beams, and then we'd be able to help our brothers and sisters who may be astray. When we do that, we can be more useful in the body of Christ. But to say that we should never judge is to abuse what Jesus teaches, what the Apostle Paul teaches, what James teaches, and other writers of the New Testament. That is just simply an abuse of it. Judge not that you be not judged. Just don't judge harsh judgment. Judgment that you may be guilty of doing the same thing that you judge. But you study your Bible, you know. You'll know people by their fruits. You'll know by their lives. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. And he wants us with patience to bring them in, if possible. But he also knows there are some who judge themselves unworthy. And so we're to shake the dust off our feet to move on to someone who will accept God's saving grace. Speaking of judgment, are you ready for the judgment day? There's coming a time. Just as sure as I'm standing here and you're sitting there, there is coming a time. There come a time when my name will be called, and I will stand before the great judge to be judged according to the deeds of my body, my life, whether they be good or bad. As we sing this song, concentrate and think, am I ready for the judgment day? As we stand and sing.